If you're talking about it,
it's always about the money. Everything else is just conversation.
We're talking about it.
No excuses. Just find a way to get it done.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Alrighty, Paul J. and Chris on a Thursday morning, breaking news. If I can get rid of this thing here. Breaking news. Brazilian authorities have told ABC News video shows a U.S. swimmer breaking down a gas station restroom door while fighting with a security guard. And they believe Ryan Lochte and three other American swimmers fabricated a story about being robbed.
Because the security guard got away with their stuff, or?
They broke down a gas station restroom door while fighting with a security guard.
Yeah.
The four swimmers claim they were robbed at gunpoint over the weekend, but authorities in Rio have not been able to find any evidence a robbery actually occurred. Initially, Lochte said he, Jimmy Fagan, Jack Conger, and Gunnar Bentz, were returning to the Olympic Village in a cab when they were pulled over and robbed by men. I heard a man dressed as cops. Lochte later told NBC's Matt Lauer the story wasn't exactly true. Instead, he said all four swimmers were at a gas station when they were robbed.
Ryan is in the United States because he left about a day before they decided that maybe this hadn't actually happened.
Yeah.
Jimmy, they don't know where he is at all.
No, they can't find him.
And the other two yesterday were detained and questioned for about 3 hours.
As you in know, yanked off an airplane.
As, well, and questioned as in, what's that called? Interrogated.
Interrogated. Yeah. They'd gone to a bathroom in a gas station, Matt Lauer said, during NBC's Olympic coverage on Wednesday night, describing what Lochte told him. They got back into the taxi, and when they told the taxi driver to go, he didn't. They said, "Let's go again. We got to get out of here." And again, the taxi driver didn't move. That's when he said two men approached the car with guns and badges.
So as far as they know, then the taxi...
Now it's two guns.
The taxi driver was probably in on it.
Well, that's kind of what...
Assuming there was an it.
Because they didn't know the taxi driver's number.
Because, you know, yesterday...
His license number, his company he worked for.
Right. Yesterday we were asking, you know, why wouldn't just some taxi driver say, "Oh, yeah, these guys were robbed last night," unless he was in it.
Yeah. As you said, a Brazilian judge ordered two U.S. swimmers not to leave the country. They took their passport, so they can't, while they investigated the claims, even though Lochte left the country before that order was issued. U.S. Olympic Committee spokesman Patrick Sandusky confirmed that Conger and Bentz were removed from their flight last night, when they attempted to leave for the United States. Sandusky also said today that Bentz, Conger, and Fagan were cooperating with authorities, so apparently they found Fagan.
Oh, okay.
And are represented by counsel and being appropriately supported by the U.S. Olympic Committee and the U.S. Consulate in Rio.
Now, it was a judge in Brazil that ordered all their passports to be turned over.
Right.
And he especially mentioned Ryan Lochte. And, of course, Lochte was already back in Florida or someplace by this time. But he said that he ordered it for all four of them. He said, "You are to turn over your passports and not leave the country." Again, Lochte was already gone. And, the other two, Jimmy and Ryan Lochte, are both supposed to be interrogated as well.
Yeah.
But haven't yet been.
And once again, well, we told you at the top of this story, Brazilian authorities told ABC News this morning that video shows a U.S. swimmer breaking down a gas station restroom door while fighting with a security guard, and they believe Ryan Lochte and the three other swimmers fabricated a story about being robbed. They have a video, which apparently is pretty incriminating.
They asked a law professor about, you know, what could happen here. And he said there is an extradition treaty between the U.S. and Brazil.
For misdemeanors?
But it seems that the United States probably will not cooperate with this one. Yeah, I don't think that they'll even think a misdemeanor is worth doing it.
No, I'm felonies maybe. Misdemeanors? Probably not. But bad, bad form if it's true. Bad form. Join Joe Prynne in the Home Fix Show Saturdays at 7 a.m. for 3 hours of home repair, remodeling advice, and industry experts. That's Saturdays beginning at 7 right here on Newstalk 670 KBOI. What a mess on the freeway this morning with details. KBOI News Time 8:51. Boise blogger Dave Frazier, the
Guardian.
Head of the Guardian.
Yeah.
On the KBOI live line this morning, and you were in Brazil, and you know exactly what happened with Ryan Lochte, right?
Yes, they have lots of security guards, and based on the news stories, it sounds to me like these guys went out and partied, probably had some adult beverages, and then they had to go right now. And they get to the gas station, and it's closed. And the guy says, I got to go. And
we've all been there.
Beating on the door, and the security guard shows up, and they get in a fight because he's beating on the door, and the security guard is supposed to guard the place. So they jump back in the cab, and the taxi guy is not about to go to leave the scene because he's got security guards there.
All right, a key thing missing here. What happened to the wallet? Did he get it stolen by a hooker?
We don't know. But anyway,
or was it confiscated by the security guard?
Yeah, that's exactly what I think happened. Is he said, all right, you know, I want your ID. I'm going to back out, find out who you are. Now, I have to share my story in a taxi in Rio. And this has been a few years ago. You remember when they had the big environmental confab down there to save the world?
Yes.
Well, I was there just a month or two after that. I got in a taxi cab, and the driver says, you know Belabzouk? And I said, what? He says, you know Belabzouk?
Bella Abzug?
Bella Abzug.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, I know who she is, the New York politician with the big hat. And he says, that woman was made for trouble. He said, I went to jail with her.
Wow.
In a very similar situation, she showed up at the conference, didn't have her badge, ID, pass, and the guards stopped her, and she said, just keep going, I'm Bella Abzug, and he went through, and they threw them both in jail. He says, I went to jail with that woman. So they don't mess around on those things, so it's kind of a parallel story there, but I would bet you anything that that's what happened, that he busted the door down to have to go.
And it was probably, it was, I'm sure, later than he said it was. They said 4 o'clock, and the other reports show him at the whatever France club or whatever.
In Rio, all seriousness, they do not stop at traffic signals at night because of the carjackers.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just common practice, and they don't write tickets or anything, and you just don't stop or you get carjacked.
Yeah. All right, good stuff.
It's a rough place. So anyway, I wanted to share that with you.
All right, thanks, Dave.
You bet.
So we have a story of a taxi not going and then a taxi going that probably shouldn't have with Bella Abzug in it. That's funny.
That is funny.
That's funny.
This doesn't relate to the Olympics, but I this was just in, and I thought I'd mention this. You remember when the rioting was going on in Baltimore?
Yes.
And that mother saw her son on
TV,
and she went down. She knew where he was. She went down to where he was and basically smacked him in the head all the way back home.
And you know, viral video.
Yeah. And her name was Toya Graham.
Mm-hmm.
Her son, who I think is now either 17 or 18, was trying to cook some chicken tenders yesterday.
Oh, no.
And he had to go to the bathroom, so he stepped out quickly to go to the bathroom, thinking he wouldn't be very long. Took about 3 minutes, came back, and the pan was on fire. So he threw water onto the stove.
Never, never, never do that. Cover it with something so the air doesn't get in.
And basically burned down their kitchen. But he's okay.
Did she smack him when she got home?
Well, she might have, but she said she was just glad that he was alive and it wasn't worse than it was.
Yeah. Well, if you ever have a fire, just look for a lid for the pan, put it on the pan, and the fire will burn out in like 2 seconds because fire needs oxygen.
That's a good point.
But water and oil,
yeah,
not a good thing.
Well, I mean, your instinct would be, throw some water on the fire.
Yeah, but
no, it's
been told for like 100 years not to do that.
When it's on the stove, apparently that's not the right instinct.
No, not the right instinct. All right, we're going to talk about why all the empty seats at the Olympics. My God, in the gymnastics final, with all of these things on the line, there were empty seats all over the place. Why is that, and how many are there? We'll tell you when we get back.
We're talking about it.
It's always about the money. Everything else is just conversation.
We're talking about it.
No excuses. Just find a way to get it done.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho. 670 KBOI.
Time of the morning. We are back. KBOI News Time 9:06. Unbelievable. Story I gave you earlier this morning, British English television host who bicycled across Brazil to promote the Olympics has contracted some form of malaria, some rare, horrible form of malaria. Has been on life support since last Friday, and don't know if she's going to live or not.
Yeah, I guess what organs have been shutting down?
Her kidneys have shut down, and unbelievable. Big TV star in England. That's not good. Talking about all of the empty seats in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
With less than a week of competition left, quite a bit less now, in the 2016 Rio Olympic Games, empty stadium seats seem to be stealing the spotlight away. I've noticed them in almost every event. Even when Brazil was playing the United States in beach volleyball and beat the United States, there were empty seats.
And that's not a particularly huge venue.
It's not a huge venue, and the home team was playing. So far, 88% of more than 6 million tickets have been sold in Rio de Janeiro, according to Olympic organizers. That's less than the London Games in 2012 and the Beijing Games in 2008, both of which sold 96% of their tickets. But it's better than the Athens Games, I told you about Greece,
yeah,
where just 67% of the event tickets were purchased. Attendance has been strong for marquee events such as gymnastics, but I saw empty seats in the finals. And sports in which Brazil has been expected to excel, such as soccer and beach volleyball. Still, and there's pictures all over the place, story on CNN, large swaths of empty seats can be seen at many venues, most notably track and field. When Usain Bolt ran the other day, there's nobody in the stands. It's ridiculous.
Wow. I would guess that has a lot to do with the news that came out of Brazil, for months before the Olympics, where they weren't going to be ready. You know, there were some venues that they were still in the process of building them, just a couple of weeks away from the Olympics, and then there were stories about how the water was filled with sewage. The water that the yachts and the rowers and the canoers and all that would be participating in was filled with sewage.
Violence away.
And of course, there was the Zika virus. People, they know if you get bit by a mosquito, and there are plenty of people who get bit by a lot of mosquitoes every day. that you could contract this virus, and if you were a woman, you could give birth to a slightly deformed baby.
Yeah.
Because of that.
Yeah.
So my guess is that kept a lot of people away, and Brazil is still in the middle of a bad recession, so I'm guessing most Brazilians can't afford the price of tickets to their own Olympics.
Yeah. Some 400,000 tickets still up for grabs, Chris, with what, 3 days left?
Yeah.
Olympic organizers say Mario Andrada, director of communications for Rio 2016, acknowledges organizers are worried about spotty attendance at Havelange Olympic Stadium, home of the track and field events, which is, in the Summer Olympics, my favorite event. And we understand it's a big stadium.
We talked about that. The 100-meter dash is, you know, pretty much the premier event of the entire Olympics. It's the signature event.
U.S. women, by the way, have dropped the baton in the 4x100-meter relay.
Which would have been theirs.
Replays show that a person in the lane next to USA hit our runner as she was getting ready to make the handoff. So the U.S. has lodged a complaint, and are hoping to get it overturned. I don't know how that's going to come out, but it's amazing. Organizers have offered other explanations for the empty seats. Long sessions mean some fans arrive late, leave early, or wander during events. Hogwash. You pay big money for Olympic tickets, you watch.
Yeah, you don't go out for a smoke and then come back and say, what happened in the 100?
Other people, buy tickets and don't show up. In some venues with double headers, people leave their seats to get food. Well, they're empty when action's going on, not during double headers.
But in all seriousness, does 30% of the audience get up and go for food at the same time?
No. Now, listen to this. Contrary to what you said, the lion's share of Rio tickets were purchased by Brazilians. 25% of them were bought by foreign visitors. On the whole, the games have not been that popular with Brazilians. The country of 204 million, as you mentioned, have been struggling with political unrest amidst the backdrop of its worst recession in 25 years. Organizers admitted the recession and political chaos affected ticket sales at home, but they'd hoped for a last-minute buying spree. Well, a last-minute is come and gone. To fill seats, Rio 2016 officials have been forced to discount tickets for many remaining events.
Well, I guess they should if they're not selling.
Yeah. This is your opportunity to see the greatest sporting event in the world up close, reads the main page of the official Rio 2016 ticket website. Rio organizers, listen to this, plan to help fill venues by donating unsold tickets to students from Rio de Janeiro schools. Many of the students from these schools participated in the opening ceremonies and will also take part in the closing ceremonies. Organizers hope the free tickets will help educate fans and create future interest in sports, even though the Olympics will never go back to Brazil.
That would be my guess.
Never say never, but...
But that would be my guess.
That would be my guess as well.
They're going back to Tokyo in 4 years because they've been in Tokyo before.
And people actually go to the games there.
Yeah.
400,000 tickets left for 3 days.
Japan tends to be a little more organized than, well, everyone else.
And more affluent, too, than Brazil. I mean, you know, push comes to shove.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Money, money, money.
Money.
That's what Todd with 1D says. Costs money.
Well, I just looked it up because I was curious. For the volleyball game, it's $240 to $600 a piece.
Yeah, that's a bit steep.
They're discounting them now, though.
But then they have some that are like $40 a piece.
What's that? Oh, fencing or something.
Yeah, exactly. Women's fencing, $40.
Yeah. See, I'm not going to that. I'm not going.
Fencing's interesting. I mean, you know, you think fencing, and of course, you think of Errol Flynn or somebody. You know, and a sword fight
up and
that goes
downstairs.
But sword fight that goes on for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And in fencing, they move toward each other, and it's over.
And beep, somebody will touch the other one. That's over. It's amazing watching the triathlon now. People are getting off their bikes. Looks like they can't find their running shoes is running the final, the final event. So they swim, they bike, and they run.
You know, it's not quite as chaotic as your average triathlon. They actually have little stations where each one of them have to go where they're all their, you know, the stuff is located.
And it would take us, what, a month to complete a triathlon?
Oh, I'd drown in the swimming part.
Well, you could wear one of those big vests and a helmet.
Okay, maybe a month.
Yeah. KBOI News Time, 9:15. You're listening to Idaho Talks Live. So you were drinking on the job, and you were underage.
Well, if you want to sum it up that way, yeah. But okay, I worked for the Times News in Twin Falls when I was 17, and we were just talking about rodeo, you know, because the Caldwell Night Rodeo.
Yeah,
is
where
going
I'm going tomorrow.
Yeah. You're going to go tomorrow night. And when I was working for the Times News in the sports department, one of the things they had me do, they'd have me go out to track meets. And
sure.
And if there was a softball tournament or something like that, any recreation
Hovey
type
took
thing,
all the good stuff.
Well, yeah, he would take, you know, the college sports and things like that. But, you know, Cub reporters, we get to go out and do the other things. And they would send me to rodeos. And I'm not sure. I think they just assumed I knew something about rodeo. And, you know,
because you grew up in Idaho.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
But they sent me out, and I just, you know, my strategy was to interview everybody in sight and then, you know, not have to analyze the thing myself. But I was sent to the Haley Rodeo, which is on the 4th of July. And boy, they have a good time in Haley on the 4th of July. But I was up there, and I checked in with the director of the rodeo, who was my contact up there. And I told him that I was there from the Times News. And he just got excited. And so did somebody else in the office.
Big city newspaper.
Yeah, but it was like they thought I was some sort of celebrity because I wrote for the local paper. And they said, oh, let me get you one of the best seats we've got. And he took me up and they put me in the front row. Now, I could have sat in the press area, but they put me in the front row. And I'd been there about 5 minutes. And here came the director with a big hot dog and a Coors beer for me. And as I mentioned, I was 17. I don't think they knew that.
Did you drink the beer?
It was a hot day, so yeah. 4th of July, you know, it was really hot.
You know what?
Even in Haley.
I would have drunk the beer myself. Yeah. I would have done it. Rewards code, KBOI rewards code empty, as in seats at the Olympics. EMPTY. MOUSE.
Well, MONEY, not much.
Okay, we just have a few minutes before the bottom of the hour.
Mm-hmm.
This is the weirdest story of the day.
Okay. Which is saying something.
From New Delhi.
Based on the fact that, you know, those guys apparently made up a robbery.
Yeah, the Brian Lochte, if you haven't heard, apparently they tried to kick down the door of that gas station they were at.
Yeah, and it was a security guard.
Security guard was trying to stop them from destroying them.
A hard time, not actual bandits.
Yeah. So, and guess what?
Allegedly.
They have video.
Okay, so it's less alleged.
Yeah. All right. Dateline New Delhi.
Ah, I love a New
Delhi. Have you seen this story? Sharp kite strings have killed 3 people in India in one day.
Well, now they do love kite fighting.
Yeah.
In India.
And the strings are like wire.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes they put glass and stuff you know, on them just so they'll be...
So they'll cut the other person's kite string.
Exactly, because that's the whole point of... I don't think that's very much fun myself. I'd rather just fly a kite and, you know, look at it for a while and then go home.
A 4-year-old boy had his throat slit.
Oh, geez, that's not
while he was looking out of a car's sunroof. And a 22-year-old man received a lethal cut on his neck while riding a motorbike. According to Pushprendu Kumar, the deputy commissioner of the West Delhi Police, the same day, a 3-year-old girl was looking out the sunroof and was strangled by a kite string which cut her neck. All 3 were killed by manja, a type of kite. This is what you were talking about.
Yeah, kite fighting.
A type of kite string made with glass.
Mm-hmm.
An Indian youth prepares manja, a strong string coated with powdered glass or other abrasives.
Right.
Sharp material is dangerous, said Manish Sisoda.
Okay.
Really?
You know why?
Only killed 3 today.
Among the things that, you know, India, you know, likes to do, people in India like to do for hobbies. Of course, there are, you know, like a billion people, close to a billion people in India now. but they like to do things that are fairly cheap. And kite fighting is very cheap because you make your own string and you can make your own kite.
Yeah, but funerals aren't.
Well, that's a good point.
Government liaison for the People for Ethical Treatment of Animals, really, is supportive of a ban. According to Sharma, a bird hospital in Old Delhi treated 500 birds in the past few days because of kite threats.
How many people are in the park?
I don't know.
Usually kite battles are between like a couple of people.
Well, apparently people like to go watch because they're looking through sunroofs.
Based on that story, I don't think I ever will go watch one of these things.
I'm staying home myself.
Exactly.
9:26.
Earlier,
yeah,
we talked about, you know, that when the rioting was going on in Baltimore, the mother who saw her son, her teenage son, on TV.
And then he set the kitchen on fire.
And well, yeah. And she went down and smacked him around, and it was a viral video. And as I said here yesterday, he accidentally set their kitchen on fire. And you were talking about, well, and he threw water onto the fire, which just made it worse. And Dave of Boise wrote in to say, has anybody ever experimented with sucking all the air out of a building to put out fires? It seems to me that would be a much better way to extinguish fires than using water. The majority of fire damage is caused by water, not to mention the mess it leaves behind. If you could suck all the oxygen out of a room or building, you could starve the fire before it even gets going. Well, the problem is usually there are people inside a building.
Well,
and
no,
if you suck all the oxygen out, then...
Buildings aren't that tight.
Oh, okay.
You can't suck all the oxygen out.
Each house or building...
Because they come in under doors, around windows.
But he says each house or building could be fit with automatic suction devices that would go off right along with the smoke detector or fire alarms. I have been thinking about this for years. I just don't know how to make it happen.
Houses aren't airtight. That's why it won't work. You could build new...
Airtight houses?
Airtight buildings, I suppose, that would be basically fireproof.
Yeah.
But... I mean, that's how fire extinguishers work, is they starve the fire of oxygen.
Yeah, they smother it, basically.
Yeah, smother. Yeah.
That's why they're not filled with water.
Exactly. But he is correct about the water damage thing. It's terrible. All right. We're kind of talking about money a little bit today. And this story, the actress who played Jan on the Brady Bunch, Eve... Plum, right?
Yeah, she's cashing in.
Yeah. Sold a Malibu home she purchased when she was 11 years old.
Like you do.
For three, yeah. How many houses do you have when you were 11? She had one on a beach.
Do the ones my parents own count? Because that would have been one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, she bought this house when she was 11 years old for three. She sold it last week for $3.9 million. Eve Plum. She was always my favorite.
Jan?
Mm-hmm. Bought the oceanfront home for $55,000 in 1969. Her parents helped her buy it, of course, because...
She couldn't sign for it.
No, she couldn't sign for it.
Legally.
She wasn't 18.
Yeah.
The beach home, which sits at the end of Escondido Beach, went on the market earlier this year.
Down by San Diego?
Yes, sir. According to the L.A. Times, Mies Architects, the designers of the Staples Center... have plans for redesigning the 1950s-style cottage. So for...
Cottage, $3.9 million cottage.
You want to know the square footage?
Sure.
Of this $3.9 million cottage?
Mm-hmm.
850 square feet.
Serious?
With a deck wrapped around the exterior of the home.
Which is nice, but seriously, $3.9 million for, I guess, location, right?
It's all about location. Yeah, following the renovation...
You can see the ocean.
Following the renovation, the home will have 3,500 square feet.
Well, that makes more sense for millions of dollars.
Yeah, it sure does. Let's go to Roger in Kuna, who's checking in on the phones this morning. Roger, good morning.
Hey, I was going to tell you on that fire extinguisher thing, they actually had that back in the 20s and 30s. And what that was, my grandmother had these, they're little globes, glass globes that you would put by the doors, above the doors, and they'd have a reddish-orange liquid in them. And if there was a fire, they would, I can't remember if they break automatically or you broke them, but there was a chemical in there that would suck all the oxygen out of the air.
Wow.
Yeah.
But
and you can still find them, but that's the problem, what you said. If there's people in that.
Yeah.
They're going to die.
Exactly.
Fires need oxygen, yeah. But yes, so do human beings.
Exactly. Anyway, just a little trivia for you.
That's good stuff. Cool. Thanks, like Roger. That's interesting to me because when he said that, it jogged something in my mind that I think maybe I've seen those.
Yeah, you may have been in a house. Yeah, back like maybe in the 40s, they still had them. And you've been in a house that had globes above the doors, and you're probably wondering why.
Yeah, I always remember the round glass things on lightning rods.
Yeah.
So you could tell when your home was struck by lightning because the glass thing would be broken.
Or there'd be somebody who was really good with a rock.
Or your house would be on fire.
Yeah, one of those things.
Yeah, one of those. One or the other. I'm going to look those globes up. Start talking.
Okay. Well, we were just talking about the movie Backdraft the other day.
Yeah.
How scary that was that you think, well, you know, the best thing to do about a fire is open up the door and get out of there.
Nope, maybe not. Nope.
Sometimes the fire will follow you.
Yeah. Fire X.
I got an interesting story here.
Okay.
In Florida, the security camera at a pizza parlor was rolling when a postal carrier drove up to the dumpster in the back in her truck and unloaded hundreds of pieces of mail directly into the dumpster. Louis Rondeo, owner of Luigiana's Pizza in San Carlos Park, Florida, said he was shocked when his security camera recorded the incident. The dumped mail included about 400 business flyers mailed out by a realtor. The U.S. Postal Service said the pieces of mail were recovered from the dumpster and will be delivered to their intended recipients after they've been in the dumpster. Interesting. I mean, it'd be okay if they smell like pizza, but
yeah,
my guess is they don't.
No, probably not. All right, we got a lot of people. Bob in Nampa, you're on 670 KBOI. Good morning. Hi, Bob.
Yeah, this is Bob. Okay. Hi, yeah, we're just following up on what the guy could call a moment ago about the little globes. I saw one of those in an antique shop the other day, but what was in those was called carbon tetrachloride.
Okay.
And it worked real well other than the fact that it was very poisonous and it sucked all the oxygen out of the air, but intended to kill people. But other than that, they worked great.
Yeah.
You guys have a good day.
All right, thanks. Other than that, they were swell. Let's go to Blake in Boise. Blake.
How are you guys doing?
Good. These things are antiques. I've looked them up. People buy these now. Glass things, yeah.
I've got a bunch that we took out of one of our old houses back up in Sweet that was built back in 1927, I believe it was.
Yeah.
Worked good, but what they had was a little solder pot in there with a spring, and when it got hot, it would melt that solder, and that spring had a little plunger that would zap up there and break the bottom out of that little globe, and it had a diffuser, so it would spray that stuff out over the doorway and over the windows, so it gave you a means of getting out, but you had to get out really quick before you died.
Well, there's that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the Lochte deal,
yeah.
Now, I haven't been down there since the 70s. I was in the Navy. And at that time, there were a bunch of yokels going around, and they warned us about them. They're calling themselves Lobos.
Mm-hmm.
These wolves or wolf pack.
Right.
Anyway, they're kind of like neighborhood watch, and they are in uniform, or back then they were, but they were in uniform, and they told us that if, you know, they were trying to apprehend you and stop you, do not stop for them.
Really?
You wait until they can get a provost marshal. If it's something legitimate, they will get a provost marshal, and they will apprehend you or whatever. But those guys on their own, and they're in uniform, they look very official. I kind of wonder if they're not semi-official. But anyway,
yeah.
I'm kind of wondering if that isn't what or who. Because the guy said, well, no, it was a security guard. No, because the second thing after the little fracas with the guy, the security guard would do, would be on the phone to his boss.
Right.
Saying, hey. And then he would be turning in said billfold or wallet or whatever he had taken. No. So that kind of puts the lie to that theory.
Yeah.
But I'm just kind of wondering if the, you know, what gets me is, now this has been 40 years ago, but if they were making money and having a good time doing this then,
yeah.
Do you really think they've stopped?
No. And Chris had a story where the cab drivers and stuff at night don't stop at red lights if there's no cars coming because
that's
of
right.
carjacking. Yeah.
Yeah.
That hasn't changed.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Anyway, thanks. You guys
thanks,
have a
Mike.
Great day.
You too. KBOI News Time, 9:46.
Nothing in life is certain. That's why it's a good idea to have a plan A, along with a plan B, and even plan C wouldn't hurt. Now, where to start? Start with a free seminar hosted by Cedar Grove Financial Associates. Experts Tony Flores and Ken Beasley can help you navigate the what-ifs and what-thens of planning your family's future. At this free seminar, you'll learn about a variety of topics, including living trusts, reducing or eliminating taxes, long-term care protection, and protecting retirement savings. Seminars are next week, Tuesday through Thursday, and spaces are filling up fast. Go online right now to cedargrovefa.com to find the free seminar nearest you and reserve your free seat. That's cedargrovefa.com. Seminars are offered at various locations throughout the Treasure Valley. Space is limited, so reserve your seat today at cedargrovefa.com. That's cedargrovefa.com or call 453-4924 to schedule a free consultation in their office on Overland in Meridian.
Hey, it's Chris Walton for Diamond Heating and Cooling. How much of your time is spent thinking about air conditioning? If it's working, the answer is 0%. If it's not, the answer is 100%. AC is a topic that doesn't come up till you're sitting at home perspiring like a bridegroom. And if you sign up for regular maintenance with Diamond's Club membership program, you probably won't have to think about it at all. At Diamond Heating and Cooling, they know the cost of running air conditioning, but they have ways to keep your energy bills under control. They'll keep your cooling equipment running efficiently and like new, and your bills will decrease. Your air conditioner is your most used appliance, but also your most neglected appliance. Signing up for Diamond's Club membership program means you'll get Diamond's expert regular maintenance. Call Diamond Heating and Cooling at 378-6624 for maintenance or new system installation. Diamond can furnish your home with the finest in gas heating and electric air conditioning. There's never been a better time to convert to natural gas. Imagine comfort year-round. Natural gas worth asking for. To find out more, call Diamond Heating and Cooling at 378-6624 and see diamondheatingandcooling.com. Experience the Diamond difference.
Every moment is accelerated in a new Cadillac from Peterson Chevrolet. And during their summer closeout, a new Cadillac has never been closer. Right now, get up to $10,000 off MSRP on the legendary Cadillac Escalade. Plus, get 0% financing for up to 60 months. Or get up to $12,000 off on most of the Cadillac lineup, like ATS, CTS, XTS, and SRX. That's $12,000 off MSRP on most Cadillacs in stock. You can also get 0% financing for 60 months on ATS, CTS, and SRX. So seize the moment in a new Cadillac from Peterson Chevrolet during their summer closeout. Hurry and get an amazing deal on a Cadillac only at Peterson Chevrolet. Prices after all rebates and incentives, OAC. Plus tax, title, license, and dealer dock fee of $299. Must have a 2003 or newer Cadillac trade-in, subject to prior sale. See dealer for all details. Cadillac at Peterson Chevrolet.
Say, it's Mattress Firm's pre-Labor Day sale. Shop early for the biggest sale of the year.
Get store-wide savings of up to $500 on the best brands.
Queen mattress sets start as low as $179.99.
Plus, get no-interest financing for 5 years.
One-size mattress does not fit all. At Mattress Firm, we'll help you find the mattress that's right for you.
Right now, get your comfort, your choice, Sealy Firm or Hampton and Rhodes Pillow Top Queen sets for just $299.99.
And for a limited time, purchase a mattress and get a free express delivery to your door.
For the first time ever, save 50% on select adjustable bases. Now just $449.50 with the purchase of a Beautyrest Black Hybrid or Serta Smart Read Elite mattress.
You haven't experienced an adjustable base from Mattress Firm, stop by and do just that. There's a Mattress Firm near you in Boise, Meridian, and Napa.
Tell them Paul, Jay, and Chris from KBOI sent you.
Mattress Firm, save money, sleep happy.
There's some ugly traffic backups on I-84 this morning. We'll have details coming up for you at the top of the hour on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back, Paul, Jay, and Chris, on a Thursday morning talking about variety of things. Let's go to Logan and Cuna. Logan, good morning.
Yeah, I just had a comment on the fire extinguisher things, there's a new thing on the market. I'm not sure where. I've seen videos on Facebook, and they had like a dumpster that was on fire, and they threw this ball-shaped thing in there, and it went in there, and as soon as it had a chance, it went off and extinguished the fire. So there's something new out like those glass balls, but I haven't seen any more information. It's just been a couple videos on Facebook about it.
Yeah, probably not as dangerous as carbon tetrachloride, I guess.
Yeah.
So. All right.
We were looking up the uses
good
of carbon.
Good stuff. Thanks, Logan.
Yeah, thanks. We were looking up the uses of carbon tetrachloride, and it was used to in fire extinguishers as well as those, what we've talked about, those globes.
They were made from 1870 to 1910.
And then it was used in early refrigeration. And then it was used as a pesticide up till about 1970 when they finally determined that it will shut down your liver.
Yeah, it'll kill your pests and you too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yes, the pests will be dead. However.
So will you. Greg in Mountain Home, you're on 670 KBOI. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys today?
Good.
They've got a newer update of that chemical ball you were talking about.
Uh-huh.
It's called Halon. They use it in commercial industry, cooking over the ranges. And they also use it in computer rooms that have a lot of servers because the caustic material in the dry cam will take out the electronics. So they use a Halon.
It makes sense.
Halon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. I'm glad they've, the principle on how these things works, you know, but the fact that the tetrachloride is so dangerous.
Yeah, the new stuff today, I believe, is called Halon.
Halon. Good stuff. Yes, thanks, sir. Greg.
You bet. Have a good day.
Yep. Let's go to Mark in Napa. Mark, you're on 670 KBOI. Good morning.
Hey, guys. I saw something, it's been a year ago now, and I've never heard any more about it. And what it was some college kids, when they were studying fire, they saw that it flickers and moves with a rhythm, and they came up with a way to bombard the fire with sonic waves and disrupt the rhythm.
Interesting.
And they set a fire. They hit it with a sonic blaster, which made a little buzzing noise. The fire went out in seconds.
Sound did it.
Sound it, yeah, because if you watch fire, it moves.
Yeah, it does.
And they said they were able to bombard it and disrupt the movement of the fire. I've never heard anything about it since. This was about a year ago, and I watched them put a fire out within 2 seconds, completely out.
Wow.
I wonder if something like that would work in the forest.
I don't know. Maybe on a small scale, you could, maybe put this small piece out and that piece over there. I don't know. It makes me wonder now if it wasn't a scam because I haven't heard any more about it. This was probably a year ago when I saw it. So,
all right, good stuff. Thanks, Mark.
You think it's hard to get, water onto a forest fire? I mean, try putting huge stereo speakers out there.
Yeah, probably Jethro Tull or something. Huh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We got an instant message or two. Dave says, this is Dave again. He says, I never meant my idea to be compared with any antique chemical. Think more like a giant vacuum, like a street sweeper size. Then my idea would be to add suction to already existing systems. So people will be leaving, so no one will be dying because there is no oxygen. Everybody already knows you leave the building when an alarm goes off. That is a good point. My idea would not suck all the oxygen out at the same time, and buildings could be sealed by the firemen.
Okay,
yeah, definitely it would require some renovations.
I'm looking up this Soundwave fire extinguisher.
Mm-hmm.
They say astronauts could deploy them in space.
That's a good idea.
Well, I'm looking at this thing. It looks really ungainly. A duo of undergraduates. Whoa, stop. That thing's going nuts. A duo of undergraduates at Mason University in Virginia created a device that they say puts out fire with nothing but sound. Now, there appears to be some doubt that this stuff really works. But thephysicsworld.com says, theoretically anyway, it works. But this story is from April 2nd, 2015, so a year ago, year and a half ago. It's 9:55, something to think about with Mike Rogers coming up next. Idaho Talks Live will feature Open Phones Friday tomorrow.
Now, something to think about with Mike Rogers. a new power player in the Middle East. For the first time since World War II, a foreign military has been allowed to operate from Iran. Russia is now conducting bombing runs into Syria from an Iranian airbase. The move came with little notice to the United States, which has often watched developments inside Syria almost helplessly for 5 years. Russia is now bombing Syria from Iran. It gives it two strategic air bases and a naval base in the heart of the Middle East. Today, Russia's proxy, Bashar al-Assad, is still in power in Syria. Russia still has access to their warm water port in the Mediterranean and TARDIS, and now it looks like they have access to a second air base in the Middle East. A Russian investment in blood and treasure paying big dividends for them in a traditional area of American influence. In the Middle East and beyond, Putin seems to be playing chess. We seem to be playing marbles, not even in the same game. Something to think about. I'm Mike Rogers.